This is our second study on the subject of prayer. To begin with, I'd like to read the catechism question that is guiding us. This is a larger catechism. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of the Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Considered last week the offering up of our desires unto God, and going to consider this week how prayer is a means of grace, what it is that God works in us through the exercise of prayer. When we say means of grace, we're talking about the instrument that God uses to pour out His blessing on us. And we might think of the reading of God's Word as another means of grace, or the hearing of the preaching of God's Word, or the sacraments. These are all means of grace. And prayer is included in that. It's one of the instruments that God uses to pour out His blessing on us. We know this is true because God has said so much in His Word. For instance, in James 1:5, the author there instructs us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. The idea there is that there's an asking of God for blessing, and that the Lord uses the asking, uses the prayers to pour out what is desired, or what is needed or necessary. Another example can be found in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, that says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In the context of what Paul is saying in Philippians, there is a desire for peace in the midst of circumstances that might normally cause us anxiety. But instead of being anxious, Paul says here's a means, an instrument of letting that request come to God, giving the communicating with God about the situation that we are in, and that God in response pours out His peace, a peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus actually says it very directly in His own teaching in Luke chapter 11. There it says, Jesus says, "I tell you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" It's another example directly from Jesus' own teaching that God uses prayer as a means of accomplishing His purpose. And that part of that purpose is to bless. And in this passage, there is an asking, especially for the Holy Spirit, which is freely given from the Father. It's also a means of grace, just because of what it is. We considered last week how there's a very simple and profound understanding of what prayer is. In prayer, we talk with God. In doing so, we are coming into intimate fellowship and intimate communion with an Almighty God who loves us and whom we love as well. And we can become maybe a little callous to that idea, in the fact that in prayer we are actually speaking to God Almighty. But just pausing and considering what I just said, talking, to God Almighty should be enough to cause us to pause and to understand how profound of a truth that is. And that being reminded of the nature of prayer and part of its purpose is to foster communion, and being reminded that God invites us and draws us into intimate communion with Himself, which is especially revealed in the type of conversation that we have with Him. It's also a means of grace in that it stirs up accompanying acts of worship and communion. The Larger Catechism highlights this when it talks about that in our prayers that we offer up our desires unto God, which is the beginning point, but it also includes confession of our sins and a thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And in the Catechism, one of the things that as a teaching tool that you will recognize in the Catechism is that there are scriptures that go along with this. And I'd like to ask for these verses to be read that are cited in the Catechism, and it will be a benefit to us this afternoon as well. So, J.D., would you look up Psalm 32, verses 5 and 6? William, would you take Daniel 9, 4? I'm going to add another verse in there. Alan, would you look up Luke 18, 13? And then Nathan, Philippians 4, 6. Will, Psalm 75, 1. Susanna, Hebrews 13, 15. And Mary, Exodus 33:19. We'll start with those verses and consider how in prayer God not only stirs us up to converse with Him and to make requests of Him, but also there are accompanying acts of worship that to go along with that. Starting with confession of our sins, Psalm 32, 5 and 6.
I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him.
We sang that this morning, didn't we? It was in connection with the forgiveness of sins. And the psalm goes on to not only mark how great it is that our sins are forgiven, but actually to engage in the confession of sins. And here you could think of it as part of that means of grace as well, that God is accomplishing His purpose of the forgiveness of our sins by prompting us to pray. So there's a grace that's poured out through prayer as we offer confession of our sins to Him. By the way, verses earlier there say, when I kept silent, my bones aged, and my groanings filled each day. Suggesting that when we don't engage in those means of grace, there's suffering that goes along with that. That as God pours out grace through those means, that if we don't make use of them, then our spiritual condition suffers. Let's go on to Daniel 9:4.
And I prayed to the Lord my God and made a confession, and said, O Lord, great mountain God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who do His commandments.
Daniel has been prompted by God's word, by the by his understanding of previous prophetic word, as well as the granting of his understanding of the Spirit's leading in his own life to offer up a prayer of confession for himself and to pray as well for his fellow countrymen and fellow believers that are in captivity. You'll note that there's confession of sin, but you'll also note that Daniel is reminded of how good and gracious God is. In the midst of this confession, he also notes that God is faithful and a God who forgives, and surely bringing comfort to his soul, and a means of grace of being blessed by this prayer of confession. It's also here Luke 18:13.
And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
It's an example from the parable that Jesus taught about the humility that we bring before God. God, we know, is completely righteous, and yet is also a God who has promised to forgive our sins. Because of this, as we pray, especially as we confess our sins, we are expressing our humility before Him and confessing our deep and utter need to be redeemed by Him. If you remember the rest of that parable, this man went home justified as he confessed his sins, as opposed to the Pharisee who self-righteously stood and compared himself to all those around him without any confession of sin. And Jesus points out the one who confesses goes home forgiven and justified. In prayer, God stirs us up to confess. He also stirs us up to give thanks to God. And we have many reasons for which to thank God. In Philippians 4, verse 6, there is an acknowledgement especially of His mercies. And let's hear here Philippians 4, 6.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your
requests
be made known to God.
I read this verse earlier just as an indication of the means of grace. It goes on to describe how God is good and how He pours out His peace in the midst of those circumstances. And in this particular emphasis, the idea of thanksgiving, we are reminded that as we give our prayers and supplications to the Lord, especially we are to couple that with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If confession admits our dependence upon the Lord, thanksgiving does as well, doesn't it? When we say thanks, we're acknowledging that God is the one who has acted in our lives, and we are in a very fitting way, giving thanks to the one who has answered our prayers. Sometimes you might hear people describe it as returning thanks, especially as around a meal. Sometimes people will say, let's return thanks to the Lord. And I think what they have in mind there is that as we have received something, as we have received these gifts from God's hands, let's return and say thank you to the Lord who has blessed us. Let's also hear Psalm 75, verse 1.
We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds.
I'm just going to draw in several verses here. Hebrews 13, 15. And Exodus 33:19.
And he said, I myself shall make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion.
These are actually verses that we read recently in our prayer time on Wednesday evenings to go along with the subject of thanksgiving. And we noted, following Matthew Henry's design, the method for prayer, that he says we must stir up ourselves to praise God with the consideration both of the reason and of the encouragement we have to praise Him. What he means there is that we should take note of the ways that God has blessed us. We have many reasons to give thanks to God, and these verses just give a few. If you just gave a word search in your Bible program to the word thanks and did it just in the book of Psalms alone, you would have a study that would last a good while for reasons to give thanks to God. Last week I described prayer as a relationship, and I want you to think of thanksgiving as being very fitting to being in a relationship. If we approach prayer merely as a mechanism for getting what we want, we would not say thanks to something that has just responded how it was designed to respond. So I described the pop machine last week as a mechanistic, or as a machine. You put money into the machine, you push the button, and out comes the can of Coke or the can of pop. Have you ever said thank you to the pop machine? Why not? It did what it was supposed to do. Now, you might curse it when it doesn't do what it's supposed to do and kick it and beat on it, but when it does what it's supposed to do, the machine worked. It did what it was designed to do. When we approach God as just a mechanism for getting what we want, you'll find that thanksgiving will it will disappear from your conversation with God. Why is that? Well, it's because you're getting what you want. Unless you start cursing God when it doesn't work the way you thought it might. Isn't that interesting that when our prayers go unanswered, if we've approached God or approached our prayers as if He was just a pop machine in the sky, then we do start to curse Him and to beat up on Him, trying to get His attention. Instead, out of a relationship, thanksgiving is very fitting. We say thanks to one who has blessed, who has entered into a relationship, who walks and talks with us. It's also fitting that as we seek further blessing, to say thanks for the ones we have received. It's part of gratefulness to say thank you for what we've received. And it is part of prayer that we're making a request to God. And so it's very natural for us to be asking God for things. And He invites us to do so. I hope you always understand that. But along with the asking, there should also be a thanksgiving that is given. As we seek out further blessing, it shows a heart of ungratitude to not say thanks. We also would note that to move on just to a second related subject to a means of grace is that we offer up our prayers to God and to God only. This is one of those points on teaching about prayer that you would wish didn't have to be said, but it does. That prayer is to be offered up to God and to God only. And we can cite several scriptures that would be instructive in this. First and foremost is the Lord's Prayer itself. You would note that the prayer is offered up to our Father who is in heaven. It's not offered up to any other being or any other person. It is offered up to God and to God only. Two other verses that I would like to have read. Where did I leave off? Who's the next one to read verses? Emily, can you look up Matthew 4, verse 10? And Sam, Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. We sang Psalm 62 earlier. But Emily, Matthew 4, verse 10. Let me set the stage while you're finding that. This is when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And Satan has invited him to bow down to Satan. And this is Jesus' response, Matthew 4, verse 10. There's only one God, and that one God is the only one to be worshipped and served. And Satan, as he invited Jesus or enticed Jesus to pray otherwise, was rebuked by Satan, "Begone! You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And by the way, you might see a kind of a subtext there that prayer is part of an act of worship as well, that we are acknowledging God as God as we bow before him in prayer. And thus Jesus rightly terms it worship. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8, a psalm that we sang earlier as well.
"My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectations from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us."
The last phrase there about pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us, has been a beginning point for us for the idea of pouring out our hearts to the Lord. But those previous verses are of special note to us today, that it is to God and God alone that our prayers are offered, that he alone is the rock of our salvation, my fortress. Those earlier verses stress especially the exclusive right for God to receive prayer. Now, it is true that in prayer that we pray to the one true God that is eternally existing in three persons, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's right for us to address God as triune in our worship and in our prayers. We have examples of this throughout Scripture. Examples of of calling out to God, and specifically, we have examples of calling out to God the Father and to the Son. Again, I would cite the Lord's Prayer as addressing the Father directly, but you can also think about Stephen when he was stoned, crying out to God in heaven and asking the Lord Jesus to hear his prayers. This comes up in Acts 7, 59 and 60. And Vicki, would you get that, please? Acts 7, 59 and 60. Lord Jesus being addressed here as an appropriate subject or appropriate one to address in prayer. The only one we don't have specific example is that of the Holy Spirit as being addressed in prayer. He is addressed in worship and addressed in as the author of blessing. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit being a pronouncement of the triune God on worshipers. There's some sense of the role of the Holy Spirit as leading us to the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit proceeding from Father and Son, and might suggest why we don't have examples of addressing the Holy Spirit directly. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one God, triune in nature, but one God, and we address all three of them as we pray. The reason I say that this must be said is that we would say on the negative side that it is not lawful or it's not right for us to pray to angels or to glorified saints or to Mary. God has not directed us or authorized us to pray to them. In fact, we find no example of prayers to saints or to angels. Or when it does happen, we find angels forbidding worship and directing prayers to God and to God only. Because angels and saints are not God, and they don't have all knowledge to know our hearts, nor all power to grant our prayers. Our prayers are to be offered up to God and to God only. Just in closing, I would remind you that go back to the subject of a means of grace and how God leads us through His Word, especially to pray and offer up to Him glory, confession, and thanksgiving, and how we are blessed in response. If I could take as an example, our preaching text from Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11. We are often guided by Scripture, and let me suggest that you think about those two verses here this afternoon, and based on as you've meditated on those and as I've preached on that, what are some things that are reason for giving thanks that come from Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11.
Christ willingly put on the other salvation.
Yeah. Very good. The preparation of Christ for us, and there's thanksgiving that he was willing to do so, that he did that. What else? Yeah, we have Christ's own righteousness given to us. Which leads us very naturally to confession. What are aspects of confession that you might be prompted to by this passage, prompted to confess before the Lord?
Maybe a tendency to trust in our own righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Taking this just as an example of how in our prayers we are prompted by God's Word and by the work of Christ to worship, to confess our sins, to give thanksgiving. I think you would also then see supplication that rises out of verses like this as well. Supplications to give thanks to God or to rejoice, supplications to persevere in faith, to press on for that upward call of Christ. With that in mind, I hope you would also see the means of grace that prayer is. That as we are in a conversation with God, as we listen to His Word and as we speak back to the Lord, that the Lord would pour out blessing upon us, assuring us of forgiveness, leading us to Christ, helping us to see what He's done for us, causing us to have strength to persevere. God pours out His blessing through those. Well, those two points today are part of our the second part of our study, that prayer is a means of grace and that prayer is offered up to God alone. I invite you to bow in prayer with me as we close. Lord God, we thank You that You have given us the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that as we go throughout this coming week, that we would be involved in intimate conversation and communion with You in our prayers. God, please bless us through our prayers as we confess our sins and as we give You thanks. Lord, deepen that relationship and cause us to persevere and to cause us to ask for blessing. And Lord, we pray that You would pour out blessing through this means of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.